Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. And those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show, hosted by the Time to Leave Movement. If you've dialed in this show, you know what we're talking about and dialoguing. The subject matter is, it's either building or going somewhere to build a community that you control, or working hard and diligently in an organized manner to control the community in which you live in. Today is Tuesday, January 1st, 2019. It is a new day of a new year. And we're taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we don't say Happy New Year, because for all of our people, it's not happy right now. So we're taught to reflect on the previous year and meditate on, or think on, the year that's about to come. What did we do last year that we deemed was good for us and our people? What can we have improved upon to do better for ourselves and our people? And how do we maintain and actually accelerate that improvement for the year that's coming? We'd like to hear from you this show. And sticking with our theme on building communities and controlling our own communities, those of us who recognize that integration has failed us, and that it was a trick, that we know the only way to a true future for our people is to build our own communities. Those of us that recognize that, we need to think about, what are we going to do this coming year to make that a reality? Personally, what are we going to do for ourselves? How are we going to prepare ourselves and our families What are we going to do to facilitate that? Are we going to join on with others with like minds to start to process and continue the process of separating into our own communities controlled by ourselves and protected by ourselves and financed by ourselves? So I challenge myself and everyone else to think about how last year went from January 2017 to December 2017. How much time, how much effort did we do in working towards either controlling our communities or making a move to a community we can control? So I challenge all of us to make that a priority in 2019. Let's actually look at what we have to do, more importantly, who we have to become to start building communities that our people can look at as examples to show that Black people really can make it on our own without the overwatching hand of Caucasian people. We have to show that it's possible. We have to do that. So call in. Let me know, you know, let us know, not just me, but let us know what challenge you have or what have you done or what do you plan to do. If you're listening to this show, you're probably a regular listener. If that means that you are one of the few people who have a heart and mind to start working towards separation. So we're trying to help stimulate you as well as ourselves to be a pioneer, a modern day pioneer, to be some of the first ones to start working on coming these difficulties and challenges to start our own communities and to be truly free. So I'm going to start to open up the lines. I see Sister Majida is on the line. I'm going to open her mic. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Majida. Assalamu alaikum. How are you there?
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I hear you. Can you hear me?
Praise be to Allah. Yes, I can. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Carlton, for that very thought-provoking introduction. You put a lot out there for us to think on, as we should. As you said, we're reflecting on our progress and our work in the previous year, 2018, and what we plan and will do with the help of Allah in this new year. And if I may, I just, you know, in that reflection, as far as the Time to Leave movement, you know, I just started thinking about the work that's gone into what we've been blessed to do and all of those that have supported our efforts along the way. And I just wanted to say, thank you. You know, thank you to all of those who have supported the Time to Leave movement, whether it's via the Facebook group with their content and just with their participation in the group. We're blessed now to be at 500 members. And I say that not because the number is so important, although it has value, but just to bear witness to the fact that, as Sister Ann has often said, and we bear witness to, we're a movement. This is a movement. So that number and that activity bears witness to that. And we really appreciate your decision to make separation part of your regular conversation, because that's what it's about here. And to thank all of those who have tuned in, who are tuning in today, and who have tuned in to any and all of our Blog Talk radio shows. I think this is, what, now 9 months for us that we've been on air every Tuesday. And so, you know, that's quite a feat for some of us. So we just want to thank those along the way that have supported that effort as well as called in and added to the conversation. And we want to continue to encourage those who do listen that this show, we can measure and gauge a part of the effect by how much conversation you all add to it. It's good to listen, and we pray that in that listening, it causes something to move in you towards separation, towards a plan for relocation. And we'll know more of that with the engaged conversation. So, you know, we just want to encourage you, as you're listening, to please call in and let us know so that we can dialogue together with like minds. And also thank those who have visited our Time to Leave website, timetoleave.us and registered or bought the Time to Leave products. We thank everyone who felt that the Time to Leave workbook was worth their time and their money, and we pray to Allah that the content, the humble content of that book, has done something to help move us toward separation preparation. So I just want to thank all of those out there that have supported, and of course thank Dr. Ridgely, Mufmeen, and Sister Ann for giving us a platform, giving all of us this platform and encouraging us to participate. So I just want to start our year off by saying that we recognize you out there, we thank you out there, and we're going to be doing some things in 2019. You know, it's just a be and it is time. Be and it is. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your statement as well, Sister Majida. Tonight, I neglected to mention the title for tonight's show, Muhammad Farms, a 2019 production. What does that statement mean to you, Sister Majida?
Well, a production means that something is in process of being produced. So 2019 is a production. It's on. It's on. Mm. Like I say, it's being it is. So, you know, you call the willing and those who support. It's time for us to show forth what all we've been given in our understanding, in our desire, in the teachings, and separating and being among our own and establishing the communities that we say we want. We see what's going on out there. We say we don't want that. And we've been charged with making our communities safe and decent places to live. So, you know, it's time. It's time to make those things happen. And we have to prove to ourselves that I'm the one, you're the one, and all those that are listening, you know, while we have the teachings and the information that we've been given, you know, what am I going to use? What am I going to manifest with that? So, you know, my thing in 2019 is just to be about it, just to be about it, because it's our life at this time. Me personally, I don't know that we have a lot of time to just kind of maybe sort of kind of. And, you know, hey, I'm not the all-knowing by no stretch of the imagination, but I just know what Allah is calling me to do as an individual, and going out in 2018 and reflecting and still reflecting, because, you know, that's a process that's not just for the day, but, you know, I just put on myself that I want to be about producing the Muhammad Farms community. So it's a production. It's in process.
Yes, ma'am.
It will be done with the help of Allah, because, like I said, this is what we are to do. So if we believe that wholeheartedly, then we're just going to be about the business of making it happen, because we've already been guaranteed success. So I'm just all about doing it. I'm just
yes,
all
ma'am.
About it. So that's what a production means to me, Brother Carlton.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Sister Majida, and we're just going to keep it rolling. We have one of our community pioneers that's on our panel for Time to Leave, and a longtime Muhammad Farms resident, Sister Ann Mufmeen, is joining the conversation. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann.
Wa alaikum salam to you both.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, when I reflect on the time that I've been here on the farm, and as Sister Majida said, what our mission has to be now. We have no choice other than to separate. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted that for us. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan want that for us. Not just want it, but realize that is what we must do to establish heaven on earth. That's the only way we're going to experience it, that we build it. And what we have to do now is begin to reassess how we think we're going to make every community where we find ourselves living a safe and decent place to live. I was reading this post just last week from a sister who stated that she had gone out and one of the windows in her vehicle had been busted out. You know, she noticed nothing was really taken. And she did report it, and some FOI came over and helped her out and so forth. But I'm wondering, she didn't mention that any other believers were in that community. So we have to get out of these situations.
Mm-hmm.
We really have to get out of those kind of situations. No, you didn't get hurt that time, but if we put ourselves out there in those kind of situations, you know, we're just sitting ducks now. I had a brother came on the post, and he told the sister, you know, well, we have to come to grips that we are at war.
Right.
And I don't think we've really internalized that in our position as being registered believers in the Nation of Islam. We're still trying to, quote unquote, go along to get along. And it's time out for that. It's time out. If our people want to be saved, then, you know, we just have to tell them the truth today. We can't, the time is out for just sugarcoating the truth. Excuse me, and trying to spare feelings when we know it's the truth. I've read someone else say, you know, well, you know, we shouldn't go around this time of year and put a damper on our friends and family who still celebrate in the traditional way. Well, you know, we talk about this all year long, but you can't get them to listen until the time is actually upon them. They're not going to listen to us talk about how we should not be celebrating Christmas in May and June and July. They don't want to hear it then. It'll go in one ear and out the other. So the only time you can get some attention on what you're saying about it is the time in which they are participating. So I have to disagree with that. You know, no, I'm not going to invite myself in to the celebrations that's going on. But, you know, we know our families do invite us in. And if they invite us in, you know, the conversation will come up and you will have a chance to say, well, I don't celebrate. Mm-hmm. And say, why? Well, it's not really the birth of Jesus. And it's not all about, even if it was, it should be more about spending money and having revelry and drinking and fraternizing going on. It should be a day of giving thanks and just reflecting, which they don't use that day for. It's a big day of partying. It's a big season of party. Mm-hmm. So I have to disagree that, you know, we don't talk against it at this time of year with our family who are still involved in it. Well, if they invite you to be around, what are you going to do? Forget your Islam and party with them? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
We have to really
right.
think about it. And if you can't be around them and still be who you are supposed to be as a believer in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, then we just have to stay away.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
and you know,
Sister
Ann, I think.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Sister.
And I was going to say, Sister Ann, as soon as we begin establishing communities where our people can see the lifestyle that we live as successful, we have to have something for them to be attracted to. But when we're all kind of living in this same situation to varying degrees and not very much different other than, you know, the belief systems that we have and the way we try to live our lives within this same society, and I just don't think we're going to have the pull, the permanent pull that we would like to have until we have some communities that we can bring them into and say, look, this is it. This is how we're living, and we don't have these things and those things, and our lives are still successful and progressive.
And
that's just
happy.
My... Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Because our people seem to think that we are not happy being Muslims. You know, that we are putting ourselves through unnecessary strain and not knowing how to enjoy life, when in reality what they are doing is really taking life away from them. With all of the drinking and bad food and bad environments, bad atmosphere, it's taking life away from them. So they look at us and think we are, you know, don't know how to let our hair down, don't know how to have fun. Just take all the fun out of life. You know?
And, hey, that's what they
think. Yeah, that's what they think. That's what they think. And they don't even realize that being in a peaceful environment
that's
is more valuable than being able to celebrate once a year and then go back to work with a lot of bills to pay in a couple of days or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with Sister Majida, and I've been saying the same thing for a long time. It is now time for us to show forth.
Right.
You know, we talk a lot about what we should be doing. Now we have to show our people. So some may be listening and say, well, what do we do? Well, we need to, one of the first things we need to do right now in continuing this discussion is figure out how we can start an investment group within this group to start the process of building community. One community at a time. Yes, we still have all the programs that we need to contribute to, but this is just something else that we have to contribute to. We have, right now, we have believers who want to move to a certain area but may not be in a position financially to do so. So what we need to do is figure out a way that we can help that process. We can buy properties in areas where we know we will probably end up, properties that are at decent prices right now that could be investment properties for those of us who may have some funds to invest. And if we all pool our resources, then we can do that. So this is a platform where we need to talk about that. We've had people to come forward and say, well, I know about this kind of investment. I know about that kind of investment. I know how to get a credit union started. I know how to get a bank started. Well, now we have to come to the table and put the plan in place in order to make it happen.
Right. That's right.
Yes, let me pause for station identification. Yes, Time to Leave Movement. And if you find what our conversation is interesting, if you have a take on what either myself or Sister Majida or Sister Ann is saying, push the 1 on your keyboard now and give a comment, ask a question, or confirmation if you think we're on the right course, or give any recommendations that you think would move us quicker to where we want to go. So push the 1, ask the question, make a comment. Okay. Thank you, sisters.
Ben, yes,
we got a caller. We got a caller who has either a question or comment. Caller with the last 4 digits, 6515. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Brother Leroy Muhammad. I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan.
Well, alaikum salam, sir.
I've really enjoyed listening to you all so far, and, you know, this is my first time calling in, and, you know, I'm part of this conversation a lot with people that are passionate about separating. Being in Detroit, we've had a very unique opportunity to see Detroit was in bankruptcy and it was a place that most people in the country saw as a wasteland. And for the most part, you know, there was a lot of people that left the Detroit community, and a lot of jobs were lost. You know, people know that General Motors filed bankruptcy, and the city of Detroit itself filed bankruptcy. So Detroit was pretty far down, and they created a big opportunity for urban planners to come here and to rebuild the city from scratch. And people like, you know, like me, I'm actually a real estate investor, and I'm in the business of managing properties for investors. I got a chance to see and engage the city with the process of rebuilding the city from nothing. And so I know that it took a lot of work in terms of planning, you know, writing things down, actually aiming at specific neighborhoods and areas where they wanted to develop and engaging the community in those places. And it was just steps that had to be taken in order to build a community. So my question is this movement, the Time to Leave movement, is this movement going to follow that same kind of trajectory where we are gathering our like minds and creating an actual formal plan and then unfolding that plan in stages so that we can go about building this community that we're talking about?
That's a good question, brother. And you said follow the trajectory. Is this a trajectory? Can you just explain what trajectory that you are implementing in Detroit?
Well, I can speak specifically about an area of Detroit, which is the mm-hmm. greater downtown area. So we've had Savior's Day here, you know, quite a few times. So I would imagine most believers have been to Detroit at least within the last 5 years, you know, maybe not all of the Savior's Days, but one of them maybe. And so Detroit's downtown was pretty much empty. You know, I mean, we had our municipal centers down there, but for the most part, as far as just regular foot traffic, for people just coming in to enjoy the downtown, that really wasn't what Detroit was about. So the planners had to intentionally bring an audience back to the downtown area. They had to attract people back. And so it was a lot of different things that had to be done in order to make that happen. So they had to bring retailers back. They had to bring jobs back. They had to bring restaurants back. And it wasn't, it was, of course, there was a lot of conversation, but they actually sat around tables and they wrote plans. They created these plans on paper, and then they went about pulling triggers to implement. So sometimes there's regular organic growth of an idea. You know, you have an idea and it kind of just catches fire and people get inspired and then they just start moving. But most of the time, especially in Detroit, most of the development that we saw happen was very intentional. It was planned.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, as a believer, I think separation is some one of the prime elements of what we have at, and what we're being taught. But we have a difficult time implementing it because we don't know how to actually move forward. What do we do next? We want it, but how do we do it? And so in my experience, I'm sorry, I'll just wrap it up. In my experience, I've seen the same thing, but I know that what happened was they wrote it down. So that's kind of where I'm going with this. Are we moving in that same direction?
Yeah, I'm glad you really, you know, I'm glad you really explained that and gave the example of what you're experiencing there. And I'm going to give my understanding of what we're doing, and I'm going to let Sister Majid and Sister Ann comment. From my perspective, the Time to Leave movement is operating from two points. One, in the broad sense, we are just trying to encourage Muslims in particular and Black people in general to start preparing themselves and doing what they can where they are now to start preparing for separation. And number one, in such a way as you save your money, you pool your resources, you get the skills, and you start doing things collectively to start separating in that form. And our defining mantra is we either control the community we're in or move to a community where you can control. So that's in the broad sense. Just trying to facilitate brothers and sisters to start discussing, preparing, and coming together with like minds. That's very important on a separation plan. In the specific sense, we live here, and my wife and I, Sister Ann, Dr. Ridgely, live in the Muhammad Farms area, what we call the Muhammad Farms community. And there's a formal way that you're discussing of planning community, writing proposals, drawing diagrams and architecture drawings and mapping out communities, but there's also a simple way, and that people can start now that's somewhat organic, like you're saying, kind of like the flight, the great migration was organic, but this is intent. Like myself, me and my wife moved from Oakland, California, specifically to be closer to Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann because we had like minds. And in doing so, so we decided this is how we start a community. So it doesn't have to be complicated. Me and my wife moved here. You and your wife can move here. Somebody else can come from New York. Someone else can come from Florida. Someone else can come from Phoenix. And before you know it, you have a de facto community. And all it takes for a community is to people have the like minds and have the same desires and start working together to build the community. So that's one way we're doing it. So I'm going to let Sister Anna, Sister Majida, go ahead and give their comments.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Sister Majida.
You know, I just want to say, you know, thank you, Brother Carlton, and thank you, Brother Leroy, for your questions. And the thing that came in my mind was boots on the ground. We have to have people here. There's so much that we can do. But as we've heard and Dr. Ridgely has mentioned over the years, we're so spread apart. So in order for us to build, one of the things we have to do first is physically be in the same proximity so that we can sit down and have some of those planning sessions that you're speaking of. Unlike Detroit, Brownwood, it's not devastated to the degree. Or it's not devastated at all. It's a small town. But, you know, like as you said, Detroit was devastated. You know, so, you know, that was an overall larger plan, bringing businesses there and industry there and a draw. You know, we're a small town. We have to have people. We have to have boots on the ground. We have to have people here in order for us to build the kind of community that takes physical location. We're going to have to be together.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. And what I wanted to say is basically what Brother Carlton said. It doesn't have to be complicated, and it's not complicated. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the farm here where Dr. Ridgely and I are at present, this is 1,600 acres of an original 4,500-acre tract of land that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad purchased. It was lost, and Minister Farrakhan reinstituted the 3-year economic savings program in 1991 to begin the process of recouping all of the properties that the messenger had before he left us. This farm is one of the things he purchased from the monies raised through the 3-year economic savings program back in 1994, 95, somewhere along in there. Well, Dr. Ridgely was the farm manager that was chosen to come down here. Now, it stands to reason that everybody have to eat. This farm is here. To me, it's just a no-brainer to want to develop a community around something as important as what can feed the people. So it's here, it's in place. It was not our original idea to have farmland. It was the messenger's idea. So if we think his idea was good, then why not build on that idea? And we can still build on this idea and move on to other communities. But it's time out for just a man and his wife to try to hold together 1,600 acres, which is the equivalent of 1,400 football fields, while the rest of us play around and try to do it over here or do it over there. This is the Nation of Islam's farm land to be secured.
Right.
It needs to be worked. We need to show some pride in the fact that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was such a visionary that he wanted to put in place land that could possibly grow food to feed our people. Not all of our people. He wants to have 1 million acres of land, farmland. But we don't even seem to want this 1,600 acres that is bought and paid for. So all we have to do now, this is a rural community. We have indoor plumbing. And we have people who matriculate through college, come back home, and Brother Carlton went to a program today where a young sister, I met her when I came here. She was in pigtails. Now she finished college, coming back home, being the keynote speaker at Emancipation Proclamation Day. Her family's still here. It's a jewel that's waiting for the rest of our people to realize it's here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's build a community around what we already own.
Right.
I went looking. We were out looking today, and I was out a couple of days ago looking at properties around. I was on the internet last night looking at properties. I have a book that the local Farm Service Agency publishes, a magazine. And I mean the properties.
Mm-hmm.
In the historic district, everybody knows historic districts usually in a town, there's preservation money pot somewhere that people can, you know, tap into to help them refurbish homes in the local historic district. There's a national society that helps people to do that. And it's just all of this just sitting here. And we're looking everywhere else. I'm not saying we shouldn't be, but this has been here since 1994. And we've been pushing for a community since that time. So now we got to wake up. You know, my husband is tired. I'm tired. We have birthdays every year, just like the rest of you. They come every year. He's been here 23 years. I've been here 20. And I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel of a mass migration of people who say, you know, we got this farm. Let's make it successful. Let's move there and see what we can do to help. Let's go and buy. I mean, there are apartment buildings. Anything you want is here.
Unlike Detroit, it's a clean slate. It's a clean slate. So it's like it's the opportunity to, you know, build schools. It's our opportunity to build grocery stores. And the land is affordable. And also what's beautiful about it, it's majority Black people here. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
So what I'm going to do, Brother Leroy, you know, you really, your question stimulated a lot of good comments from our panelists, and we want to thank you for calling in and keep listening. And
yes,
have another caller. Thank you, sir. We got another caller.
Thank you.
We got a caller with the last four digits, 7359. What is your name, and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum. This is Sister Niambe from St. Louis.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. So I have a question and a comment. My question is, You know, we like ease, and we the enemy has acclimated us to a life of ease. And I know that one of the major concerns is that we aren't sending donations in to the three-year economic program like we could be. So what is the easiest way? Is there an online way that we can donate, or do we need to mail our donations in? What are the methods that we can get our donations into the three-year economic program?
I was assuming that is, well, my husband and I, we were out in the boonies, and this is the way, because we internet access is just so fickle here. What we do is quarterly, usually, we just write individual checks to all of the various charities and priority mail them up to the National Secretary's office, and we get our charity slips back in the mail. You know, it's a little time consuming. But, you know, it's probably, I thought it was on the nation's program where you go in to pay your regular charity.
Yes, ma'am.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
Well, and that way, when you earmark it for the 3 year, it's divided out and
yes,
given to Sister Jean Muhammad, who is the treasurer for the 3 year. And that's what is available for us to draw down from. And I'm going to say this. People don't know this. He doesn't say it. Dr. Ridgely, this is supposed to be a position that receives charity, but he doesn't take it because we need help. And in order to be able to afford the help, he didn't take the charity as a national official and laborer because we hadn't been able to afford it out of the 3 year.
Wow. Yes, ma'am. And then, so and my comment is, you know, we are fast approaching a time. Well, let me say this in conjunction with what you just said, Sister Ann, because, you know, when I have these conversations with other people, I'm always stressing that we must build an economy around our farm. You know, I hate going into their grocery stores. I limit my grocery shopping to here. We have Whole Foods, and I don't shop there a lot, but we have a couple of other quote-unquote health food stores, too. I don't even shop at the conventional grocery store. I mean, even when I have had to go in there because I've let the store close that I would normally shop at or because it's just more of a convenience, which is very, very rare. When I do go into this store, I spend very little money because everything in the conventional grocery stores, and by conventional I mean where the majority of the people in my city shop, I mean, it's pure poison. And that is not to say that Whole Foods, and I mean, they're all the same. So I just don't know what more it's going to take. Believe me, I am working on moving to the South. Because what I know is we are fast approaching a time where we're going to wish that we lived amongst one another.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
So, yes, ma'am, that's without a shadow of doubt. And, I mean, I understand that the importance of building an economy around Muhammad Farms, I mean, just in the fact that, like, I look at my children I'm no longer with their father, so when he's with them, or no longer with my former husband, so when he's with them, because we're no longer together, he doesn't cook for them the way that we did when we were in the home. So my children's eczema is worse than it's ever been because they're being fed genetically modified foods when they're with him and all this and that, which I take great care in avoiding those things. So I know when my children are being fed genetically modified food, and it affects everybody differently. But so, I mean, I take this very seriously, and I look forward to the time when I am able to move closer. And I know some of us are moving closer, but I don't want to just move to Georgia. That just be what I mean is, because that's just me moving to another state. I want to move there and really contribute. So if you all could kind of, I know we've talked about this over and over again, but just kind of reiterate how we can most effectively contribute to starting the process of building an economy around our farm.
Okay, the farm is in need of everything that a farm should have. We have tractors that are in constant need of repair. It's a very expensive endeavor. You know, tractors are $80,000, $100,000. There's a lot of heavy equipment that is needed and is always in need of repair. You know, and what we can do, we have got to start encouraging our young people to go into fields and trade that could be helpful in maintaining our nation.
Right.
You know, we don't need any more psychologists. We all know we're crazy.
We need
heavy equipment repair people. We need welders. We need people to study all the phases of manufacturing, because we know everything starts from the land. I'm building right now a notebook of various industries that could be started with the right people. We have to point our young people in the direction. I had this conversation with a young sister a couple of months ago. She said, well, it was a meeting of farmers, and they had invited some young students. So this young lady made the statement that, well, farming don't seem to be doing that well for y'all, so why don't y'all just get out of it and do something else so that young people can have jobs? Well, you know, that's the mindset, a job, not creating a job for yourself, but you waiting on somebody else to create a job for you. So when the meeting was over, I went up to the young lady and I told her, I said, well, you know, I understand your frustration and I hear you. I said, but when you talk about farming, I said, we have not scratched the surface of what industries could come out of just basic farming. As sister said, you know, Whole Foods is just like everything else. You're getting a bunch of junk. You're getting chemicals. And they have to do that. USDA mandates that now in order for you to put your product where they are available to the overall public. You've got to adulterate them with these chemical stabilizers. So that's the beauty of what we're doing here. We refuse to do that. And I know people think we don't know what we're doing because our Muhammad Farms flour is not on the grocery store shelves. The Ann's muffin mix is not in the grocery store. They don't think we know what we're doing. But we know exactly what we're doing. We're trying to keep the product pure because we thought that's what our people wanted in the nation. I could easily get my muffin mix in the grocery store. I went to the training a couple of years ago, and I refused to send them a sample so they could tell me what chemical components to replace some of the natural ingredients with to make it shelf stable. Now, I can do that, but do we want that?
No, ma'am.
Thank you, Sister Ann. And Dr. Visually has joined us. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Visually.
Walaikum Salaam. You know, I told y'all earlier today that I wasn't going to be on. I wasn't going to say anything. And that's because, you know, I'm in a very negative type of framework in dealing with some of the people in the nation in terms of leadership. But the sister asked a question. Let me get a simple answer to one of her questions. You send your donations to the 3 Economic Savings Program, 4855 South Woodlawn Avenue. In Chicago, Illinois, 60615. Okay, that's the way to make direct donations, or you can do it through your nation's programs, you know, the way you do your regular charity. We have products here at Muhammad Farms. She mentioned the flour, the cream of whole wheat, the muffin mix, the watermelons. I have been begging the leadership of the Nation of Islam to promote this farm for 23 years. Okay? Preachers won't even allow me to come and speak at the mosque to the point that I really think that something is wrong with me, that maybe there's a devil in me that I don't know about or something. I don't understand what it is that I feel like something is wrong with me, because I don't know why they won't promote the farm, and they won't let me to promote the farm. They won't ask for money for the 3 years, and they won't let me ask for the money. We got product that people say we have the best watermelon in the country. This is what people tell us when they get it. People tell us that our flour is the best flour in the country. Our cream of wheat is the bomb. Our muffin mix is the bomb. Why do we have great products and yet we're poor? So this is why I didn't want to talk anymore to people, because I'm very, very upset, because either something is wrong with me or something is wrong with the people who refuse to promote this farm and allow us to promote it. So I'm in a very terrible state, and I don't really want to deal with people at this time until I can figure out what the hell's going on, because I've been out here for 20-something years. And if something is wrong with me, then take me the hell out of here. But don't sit here and just allow the farm and us to suffer, and we produce quality product. It'd be different if we weren't producing anything. But right now, if we got a staple goods project right now going to 6 or something cities, okay, we're getting some good feedback, but our people in the cities are not pushing it out in the community. The mosque ain't pushing it, even in the mosque, but less in the communities. So, you know, we and I don't know what to do anymore. This is why I kind of draw him back, because I don't know what to do anymore of how to get people to support the farm. This is their farm. This is not me and Sister Ann's farm. This is the nation's farm. Okay? I don't understand it, and I don't know how to get people to do it. I'm afraid to even say anything to people, because I don't know. I just don't know what's going on. So that's I'm sorry to bring that type of spirit, you know, to the program. But you know, so I'm just gonna close before I say something ugly. Okay.
Thank you for sharing, Dr.
The minister is the one who wanted this farm, but the people around him don't. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir. I want to thank you for that candid response. Got an inside answer to your question, Sister Nambi. And to follow that, all I'm going to say is, if you look at the condition of America, and the condition of America is not because of Donald Trump, it's not because of the Republicans or the Democrats. The condition of the United States of America and the citizens is because of the citizens themselves, because they allow leaders to do things and take charge and accept policies that are not healthy for the United States and the world. So that's an example for us. If we want our nation to rise above personal agendas or our enemy's influence, we have to have an active involvement in the progress of our Nation of Islam. We can't just say, oh, well, you know, I trust Minister so-and-so, or I trust Brother so-and-so. He's been good all these years. I trust him. The only one we can do that with is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But everybody else, we have to take active roles, checks and balances, so that our nation fulfills that which it's supposed to fulfill. So I'm going to, be down to our last 5 minutes. I'm going to ask Sister Ann and Sister Majida if they have any comments.
Go ahead, Sister Medita. I think I talked last before you.
No, it's okay, Sister Ann. We're all in such a reflective state, and I'm just listening, and just reflecting, and you know, my whole thing, and this is my focus. This is my focus for 2019 and beyond, with the help of Allah. You know, we're going to build a community,
mm-hmm.
and whatever sacrifices we have to make, just like we sacrificed to come here, just like our people sacrificed to build those 60-plus towns with all that they had to endure during the time of slavery, just like they made those sacrifices. There's enough of us out there that are willing to make those kinds of sacrifices. And I'm not saying that we're going to make them without a plan, because we didn't come down here without a plan. But we're going to have faith, and we're going to have a plan, and we're going to sacrifice, and we're going to build this community around Muhammad Farms. We're just going to do it. And I'm just keeping myself in that frame of mind and on that task. And all of those that are in support of that and feel the same, you know, will be a part of it. And Allah is going to bless us to be successful.
And thank you. And Sister Ann, did you have a comment?
Well, I just like to say I appreciate those who want to support the farm, and Dr. Risley has told you how to do it, and just encourage other people to do the same. I remember when back in the 90s, right after the minister reinstituted the 3-year, it was often talked about in the mosque that I came from at that time. And I used to get letters of thank you for my contribution. And it's only asking believers to contribute $10 a month, $120 a year to the 3-year. And if every believer did that, that would give us a good cushion to operate on and to keep help who wants to help us here on the farm and to help us build and maybe even invest a little bit and some infrastructure to get some businesses started. But thank you all so much for listening. And inshallah, this 2019 is going to be a beautiful and productive year.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. And the last but not least, I as well want to thank you for listening. And if you listening to this show, if you feel that you want to contribute or have something to contribute more to the Time to Leave movement, or even become involved in the Time to Leave movement, send your information. Go to our website, timetoleave.us, all spelled out, timetoleave.us, and there's a contact form. Click on the contact and put your information in there that you want to find out about our conference calls, our Time to Leave conference calls, and you'd like to be in on it. So go there to the website, put your email in, and we'll contact. We'll follow up with contact. So thank you very much for tuning in to the show, and we look forward to having you next week, Allah willing. Assalamu alaikum.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand you?
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go.
Ojibwe. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more country. Fast eyes burst into rhythm. Where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the roads my forefathers walked. Climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peace Street. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now